Welcome to the Regeneration Ministries podcast. This is Josh Glazer. I'm the executive director of Regeneration Ministries. We know being a human being can be beautiful and it can also be messy, with this combination of physical, emotional, sexual, relational, and spiritual. Jesus knows this too. So each week in this podcast, we address topics to help you become more whole, more the men and women that God designed you to be. I think we're surrounded so much with pictures about what sex is supposed to be. I mean, we see it in Hollywood, we see it in movies, and it just works. It's magical. The couples know they're meant for each other because of how they connect sexually. But the reality is that in a lot of marriages, sex is a really difficult piece. It's a really hard area of their marriages, of people's marriages. We've heard stories here, and we just want to share some of our perspective on some of the negative that we've heard, but really primarily want to move into like, what's God's vision and how can we get after framing up marriage in a way that's more helpful and healthy for people? Framing up sex in marriage in a way that's more helpful and healthy for people. So Kit Elmer and I back here talking today. Mm-hmm. Kit, you were sharing with me just some stories you've heard from multiple women. Just share a little about it with me. And then I have just a couple stories I've heard from different people about some of the areas that are really difficulty, like faulty ways of looking at sex and marriage. So just let's just have a conversation about that before moving to some of what God's designed.
Well, you know, quite a few women have talked about the hurt that they've experienced when, you know, their husbands have a desire for sex very often, more often than the wives would want it. And that happens a lot. And like we've said, not everybody has equal sexual, you know, interest and drive. But instead of being able to accept that or figure out how that would work for both of them, the husband would get extremely upset and would then kind of punish the wife and be unkind. And, you know, I would say to the point of kind of being emotionally abusive and, or even take it out on the children or, you know, and that's so discouraging for these women. And of course the husband is dealing with something he doesn't even know probably, you know, something, some brokenness in him, some desire, some need he wants met that he thinks he can get that way and he can't. And so it'd be great if that could be a topic of conversation rather than it kind of spiraling into this dark place.
Yeah. So you're describing like kind of a husband, and this can happen either direction, but
yes.
But you're talking about working or walking with wives who's like the husband gets angry because the wife does not want sex as much as he does.
Yes.
And so he gets angry either, is it directly, is it indirectly, is it passive aggressive, is it
what? Both. Like, can be, you know, different stories have different ways, but it's clearly a punishment of some kind.
Yeah, and maybe he's thinking of it that way, like I'm going to treat her badly until she gives me sex, or maybe he's not even realizing he's being passive aggressive, but kind of, the child inside the adult body kind of, you know, throwing a temper tantrum,
yes.
You know, because I'm not getting what I want.
Yes.
From your experience, what are they saying about that? Like, you know, what's the husband's perspective that he's articulating around that? Is it usually like, you know, I'm being unreasonable, or is it justified in some way?
Well, I think a lot of times it's there's little self-awareness, and you know, so it's just like, well, this is what I want. This is what I need. This is how I'm built, you know? And so it helps if the wife can we sit down and talk about this? And if the husband's willing, then that doesn't always happen. Sometimes it's just this tension, you know, thing that goes on, and there isn't good communication. So obviously good communication about it, honoring the other one, about what they need, what they want, you know, is so important.
I've heard stories of sometimes where a husband in kind of hyper-religious kind of posture says, you know, I'm the husband, you need to submit to me. I remember hearing someone share a story of growing up in an environment where I think their mother, before they got married, said something to the effect of, look, you're not going to want to have sex. It's going to hurt, but this is something you need to do. It's your job as a wife.
Yeah.
So it was just kind of this, and I don't know where that kind of stuff comes from, but man, talk about like drifting from God's design, and we'll get into that, but it's just not a setup for a loving situation. From my perspective, as I've walked with a lot of men in marriages wrestling with sexual stuff, one of the things I hear a lot is men who have struggled with lust in one form or another, whether it's a sexual addiction or pornography addiction or just kind of their own experience in the world, high school, college, kind of just being more womanizing, get into a marriage and they're comparing this one spouse to all sorts of other sexual experiences or things that they've seen, and she doesn't measure up. And he's you know, wanting to be quote unquote sexually satisfied in the marriage, but he's finding is either his mind is drifting or he's going back to porn or he's asking her to dress certain ways or act certain ways, or even can we bring certain things into our marriage, pornography into our marriage. In some extreme cases, can we bring other people into our sexual relationship to quote unquote spice it up? And sometimes, you know, the wife just being thrown into a, are you kidding me? No. And so she starts to, you know, to shut down or sadly, in a lot of other cases, the wife trying to become more like someone else in order to satisfy her husband. Which I think is the desire to satisfy one's spouse in a sexual relationship is a normal, healthy thing, but only to a degree, not by becoming someone else or acting like someone else or playing a part. So these are just a couple examples, and there are a lot of other examples of ways that even otherwise good marriages or marriages between Christians really, really suffer, and where we'd say, like, you know, if we're kind of looking in going, hey, time out. This is really not a good way to approach this. We got to pull back. We got to figure something else out, because long term, this is not going to work for either of you, let alone for both of you.
And, you know, there can be some extreme examples of what you mentioned, or just, you know, more commonplace where, you know, that's why, you know, we try to understand, like, why does God say that sex should be within the covenant of marriage? You know, well, if you're acting out sexually with lots of different people and there can be a very psychological unhealthy charge that you're getting from that. And then you get married and you have this one spouse that you want to be devoted to, and your view of what this can be, this sexual relationship, is tainted. Yeah. And so it can, you know, it can really mar, you know, your understanding and your expectations of what it can be.
Yeah. And then I think another example would be the marriage where there's just not sex. The couples are not having sex. And this is actually happening more than I think a lot of people know. And even in marriages that from the outside look really healthy, they just become sexless marriages. And it could be for any number of reasons that the sexual relationship was difficult. And so they didn't know what to do. And maybe were really afraid to ask for help. They kind of just gave up on it. Other times, some of these other factors could have been played into it. And so, you know, one spouse, the other just shut down or shut the other one out. And
that's so important to talk about that and not just let it go. I mean, there's so many things about marriage, right? That we know it's unhealthy to just sweep it under the rug, You know, you got to keep an active communication about everything in your marriage. And certainly sex is very significant. And you will go through times when it is difficult for whatever reason. You know, that certainly happened in my marriage, and we've had to really be willing to talk about that because it happens.
And I think so I think about how we started this podcast by saying there's so many images out there of like, oh, sex just works, it's always great, blah, blah, blah. And it's funny because I don't think we typically think that there's any other part of our relationship, finances, time, schedule, personalities, that are just always going to click. And somehow we think that this most intimate, sensitive area of our life is always just going to work and just be, you know, a rocket to the moon. Well, no, like, you'll have to work on this too.
Well, and in this culture, right? It's like, it's an image thing. Like, I don't want to say that it's not good because, you know, that'd be weird. Like, I want to be cool. I want to be, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, the image in the culture is that this is the good thing, that you have this natural, you know, thing going on. And so, you know, I love that we're talking about this and that, you know, hopefully we can talk more about it. Like, it's beautiful. It can be great, and it can be really hard and really challenging. And let's just be real about it.
Yeah. I like that we're talking about it because I think that there's this tension with sex. On the one hand, God, by God's design, sex is very intimate. It's personal. Mm-hmm. And it's meant to be just between two individual people for life. You know, like, It's not meant to have an audience. It's not meant to be comparative. It's not meant to be, you know, rated
battered
by other people.
At a dinner party.
Right. On the other hand, because it's so sensitive, because it can get so difficult, because it is so nuanced in some ways, there are times where we need help. We need to hear from other people. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to find healthy people. This is one of the reasons I love that we do the parenting workshop, shameless plug for PG, because I think that like we really were meant to grow up in an environment where we'd learn from mom and dad some healthy approaches, some healthy perspective on sex so that when we get married, it's not like we're searching the internet for answers or having unhealthy conversations or unrealistic expectations. So with that in mind, I want to just kind of, there's so much we could talk about, but I want to just spend the rest of the time we have just talking about like, what are some healthy, like just thinking about healthy perspectives on sex. Mm-hmm. So we can't solve all the problems in the podcast we have, but even like what if people were to reframe, like what's a good healthy approach or healthy perspective towards the way that God has designed sex to be between a husband and a wife? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So what are some things that come to mind for you?
Well, the first thing that came to my mind is that something that comes into my mind often with my husband and I, that it is a remarkable gift that this is something that, you know, God intended for a husband and wife to share with only each other. Like this is something that my husband and I give and share with one another, and we don't give it or share it with anyone else.
Yeah, yeah.
That's profound.
Yeah.
It's profound. And when you have that perspective and that appreciation and that gratitude, you allow it to be, you know, just not just physically and emotionally, but spiritually very enriching.
Mm. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I, one of my passions is helping people break free from the grip of pornography, but it's just another example of why the whole pornography propaganda is such BS. I mean, because even the idea of like, you know, we're going to bring pornography in our marriage to spice things up. The brain is not wired for sexual enticement with lots and lots of people. The brain actually releases chemicals into the nervous system that help a person bond sexually with one spouse. And when those chemicals are released with multiple people, it just confuses the matter and it actually facilitates infidelity. I mean, it helps to, you know, move people towards being unfaithful, which is not going to make you feel better. It's not going to improve your sexual relationship.
Yeah.
One of the categories that I think is really helpful for me when I think about healthy sex is that sex is not something unto itself. It really is meant to be a category or an expression of love.
Yeah.
And so I even kind of bristle when I hear people talking about like using expressions like, you know, we have good sex, or, hey, do you want to have sex? Like, sex is a verb, you know? I mean, it's a noun when we're talking about gender, but I think it's meant to be this, an expression, like, just like communication it's something that two people do. It's not something that has, it's not like a ride you go on. Hey, have you been on this ride in this amusement park? Like, you know, like, but we talk about it that way, as opposed to this husband and this wife's sexual relationship. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And it comes out of an honoring. Like what you're describing is so beautiful. Like sex in its most beautiful form, the way God intended, is that two people would come together and there would be this honoring of one another, you know, this understanding of each other, this knowing of one another.
Right, right.
And then that would naturally lead you then to know each other in this way.
Yeah.
And I think that's beautiful. And it's completely different than if it were otherwise, if it were just let's have sex.
Right. So one way to think about it is, do you in this moment want sex, or is it that you desire to be close with, to be united with this person? Yeah. Those are very different things. You know, I think if you got a call from a friend who just said, hey, you know, just looking to talk to anybody. I was looking down a list and, you know, your name alphabetically fell top. So would you want to get together and have a conversation? You'd be like, wait, do you want to have a conversation with them? Like, are you interested in spending time with me? Or just like, you know, like you just want somebody to talk, like, but we treat sex that way, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, on a soul level, I think a husband and wife feels that, like, you know, are you really seeing me? Do you want to be with me?
Yeah.
Or is it just anybody will do right now to give you the sexual feelings you're after?
Yeah.
Those are different things.
Very different.
And I think, you know, with my background with pornography in my own life, I think that's been such a paradigm shift for me, and but a really helpful one. And I think it actually benefits and makes my sexual relationship with my wife something so much richer and deeper and more worthwhile than just, you know, seeking the thrill, you know?
And, you know, I think I want to be careful too, not to set this bar like, and therefore sex between a husband and wife will always be this, you know, spiritual high and all intentions will be good. You know, like, you know, life is life. And, you know, so, you know, being able to accept one another and, you know, have it be what it needs to be sometimes. But knowing that that's the intention, you know, knowing that that's the desire and, always having that, you know, as the foundation of what you're really sharing together.
Yeah. Like, so, yeah, I mean, that's really helpful because we want to be gracious. You know, I'm coming out of my own past of lust. And so, I don't always get this right, but this is, if we're to kind of, this is our purpose statement. We want to really kind of seek to approach it this way and to approach each other that way.
Yeah. It's good to have a vision. You know, it's good to have a vision of all kinds of things in life about what God intended, right? That's what we think about a lot here is what did God intend in the beginning with all these things, including, you know, sex.
Right. Mm-hmm. What other things would you add to that kind of like, okay, this is the purpose we're pursuing, or this is the perspective we want to encourage people to try to foster or breathe life into in their marriages, as opposed to some of these other, you know, the negative pieces that we started with?
Well, you know, I think, again, I think it's when you think about a marriage and you think about all the different things that you can, you know, share together and enjoy it, enjoy it, you know, like my husband and I love to take hikes together and we love to explore nature together. And, I think sometimes if we think about sex and it's like, oh, you know, and you get all kind of weird about it, which it is, it's a thing to highly respect. And I think we can enjoy it. You know, we can enjoy it, and it can be a part of the richness and the goodness and the joy of a marriage, you know, and in ways that sometimes movies and songs and things don't really, you know, lead us to.
And I think that goes back to what we were talking about before with the, if you look at that as in the, it's the converse of the one person wants to have sex, the other doesn't, the one person wants to try these things, the other doesn't. Then there's this kind of these expectations and this kind of like, you know, one person's feeling forced or that's not enjoying each other. It's not enjoying this gift as a part of your relationship. It's, and when that happens, I think if the intentions are good and one person desires to have more sex than the other, one person desires to do things sexually, the other doesn't, how can we move towards each other in this place and learn as we go? Not under, you know, kind of a legalism or you have to do this for me or I have to do this for you, but rather like, how can we learn to love each other as we're respecting each other? And it may mean, that we give up something that we had hoped for. I mean, that's a real part of marriage too. Like my wife has worked hard in our almost 18 years of marriage to grow in her kind of love and desire to cook, but she doesn't love to spend time in the kitchen. I always wanted to marry somebody who was just a great cook, you know, like that's not my wife. I'd gladly trade that to have her, you know, that she's the one I want. Mm-hmm. But the same thing's true in any sexual relationship there. You know what? Like I thought this was going to be part of my life or part of my sexual relationship. It's not, but I'm going to enjoy being with you.
You know, so often in marital vows, we say love and honor, you know, again, I love that word honor. I love it so much. But that's so important, you know, this honoring of each other, because if in your marriage you are honoring one another in all aspects of your marriage, you're creating a safe place. And a safe place is really important for your sexual relationship.
Yeah. And you know? And I would actually say, Kit, like I've told men this, I think it's true both ways, but I believe that creating that safety through honor and trust is actually one of the biggest aphrodisiacs.
Yeah. Because totally agree with you.
And I think it's especially true for a husband as he's relating with his wife. Like you know, if she's going to feel comfortable and relaxed enough to be able to enjoy that experience, she's got to feel like she can trust you and that she's being honored in that place.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Powerful. That's part of God's design. I would just claim that, you know, that part of God's design is that that honoring in the bedroom, in the marriage bed would be so beautiful that it would create that kind of safety that you might not experience anywhere else.
Could you were sharing a story offline that you said you wouldn't mind sharing, that you and Greg wouldn't mind sharing as part of that you guys have walked through. And I think that we're not going to hold it up as like, hey, this is it, go for this. But I think it's just a great example of that. Would you mind sharing that?
No, it's a beautiful thing. Hard, you know, experience, but a beautiful story in that when after my cancer, you know, when you have a tumor that's estrogen positive, then you want to get the estrogen out of your body. And so, you know, whether it's with the chemo or the medication afterwards, they're draining your body of estrogen. So that, of course, creates some problems. Loss of estrogen can mean a lot of things. It can mean, you know, lack of sex drive. It can mean, you know, physical pain and discomfort. And of course, you know, I want to be sure to say that this is not permanent either, but it is a temporary situation that can be very difficult. And so, you know, Greg was very, very, very patient, and not only patient, he said, you know, honey, this doesn't define our marriage. This isn't the most important thing in our marriage. And you know what? We're going to be fine. And we could have said, well, let's just give up on it. You know, neither one of us wanted to do that. Mm-hmm. And so we were like, yeah, we're going to figure this out. And we prayed about it and we asked God to be in it. And he did. He met us there.
Wow.
And it was just an honoring of, like, there was nothing I could do about these physical issues that were happening. And yet, by him loving me in that place and honoring our marriage in that place in the way that he did, it allowed us then to go forward and enjoy each other ways that it's different and it's in some ways, you know, more special.
It's so in Ephesians 5, and we'll conclude with kind of this, and this is a beautiful story. I've always been a fan of your husband, and I'm all the more so after hearing that. Like Ephesians 5, the command that Paul gives to husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And we know that Christ loved the church even to the point of sacrificing his life for her to make her beautiful. And what I hear in that story, what I hear that reflects Christ to me in that story is basically, I'm not pursuing sex. I'm pursuing you.
Yeah.
And you right now are walking through cancer and the follow-up of cancer and the difficulties there. And you could apply that to whatever the situation we've talked about before. You know, I'm not pursuing this activity or this sexual experience. I'm pursuing you and where your heart is, what you're comfortable with.
Yeah.
I'm not pursuing the you know, the people I've been with before. I'm pursuing you and who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And from that, then together, husband and wife can pursue more enjoyment, more freedom, life, procreation, all these good aspects of sex together, as opposed to kind of pursuing it from each other, you know?
Yeah.
There's so much more we can say about that. Let's talk more about this. I know that we're hearing from people. They really want, like, talk to us about how to, like, we know there are negative things about sex. Talk to us about having good, healthy sex relationships in our marriages. And so we will come back to this, but Kit, thanks for your vulnerability today with this. And thanks so much for talking to me. So let me just close this in a prayer for everybody as we're all kind of, you know, trying to grow in this area. Lord, sex is your design. Not only is it your design for us in marriage, Lord, but it's your desire for husbands and wives. And that's good, Lord. It's an expression of your desire for us. And I pray, Lord, that you'd continue to sanctify all of us and all our listeners, that the desire that we have would grow into your likeness. Lord, we have made sex an idol. We've made sexual pleasure an idol. And so, Lord, we renounce that idol now in Jesus' name. Lord, teach us to love one another as you have loved us. And in so doing, Lord, would you teach us to love one another, husband loving wife, wife loving husband, in marriage, including in their sexual relationship. Lord, you can do this. We pray this through Christ, who gave his body for us. We pray it in his name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. We hope this episode has been helpful to you. Listen, if you find these podcasts beneficial, please join our listening community and our larger ministry work in one of two ways. First, would you leave us a 5-star review wherever you listen to podcasts? Doing so actually helps bring this content to more people like you who can benefit. And second, would you become a financial partner of the ministry by donating either one time or on a monthly basis? You can find out how to do so at regenerationministries.org/donate. Thank you so much again for listening. We look forward to being with you again next week.